Well, good morning. First of all, I would like to welcome our visitors, Librado Benavides. No. You in the back? Okay. Well, pray that you feel welcome in the church this morning. Diana Rodriguez. Yes, you've been here before. Good to see you. Keith Best. And Justin Jimenez. Just want to pray that you feel welcome this morning in our church. Well, before I go any further, if I can just pray this morning as I bring forth the message. Lord, Heavenly Father God, I just thank you, Father God, for your faithfulness, Lord. I thank you that you're already here in the house, Father God. I just pray that you hide me behind your beautiful cross, Lord, to bring this message, Lord, that I feel you've placed in my heart, Lord. And I just thank you again for your faithfulness, for your unconditional love. Holy precious name we pray. Amen. The title of my message this morning is We Serve a God of Peace, Purpose, and of Love. Just a little icebreaker. Yesterday morning was a good day. I finally got off the monkey off my back. We won. We won a football game. You know, so you just thank God. Because last year we had the perfect record. We went winless. But this year we're off to a good start. So I just wanted to share that just to calm down my nerves right now. Once again, my title of my message this morning is We Serve a God of Peace, Purpose, and of Love. First scripture I have for you all this morning is in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. So my first point is that we serve a God of peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. The Word of God reads, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Once again, verse 7, that was my point. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus." I don't know about you, but I want the peace of God in my life. You know, if you don't have no Jesus in your life, you have no peace. But if you know Jesus, you know his peace. In tough times you might be going through, when you have that peace of God, you know that, you know what, he's with you. You know, I don't know what you're going through this morning. I just want to encourage you. The Word of God says in Hebrews 13:5 that he will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, people will let you down left and right, you know, and you know, people will let us down, but your Heavenly Father will never let you down. Okay, my other scripture, Psalms 119, verse 165. Pastor Leah shared this scripture last week, so I took it from him. Because it goes with my message. Psalms chapter 119, verse 165. The Word of God reads, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble." Once again, there's that word again, peace. "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble." You have that peace in your heart. People may talk left and right about you, but you know if you have peace, if you have God in your heart, that's not going to offend you. But you know what? You know you're right with God. So you pray for them. The Bible says to pray for our enemies, right? Pray for them. You know, you're always going to have your haters, like I like to call them, your haters. But you know what? You know, you have peace in your heart. God's with you. And you have that peace, which is the most important thing to have. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Starting in verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is heavy, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Once again, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. When you have peace, you have rest in your soul. So maybe this morning you're trying to live this life without God. You know what? The answer is Jesus Christ. He is the true answer. The Bible, the Word of God says in John 14:6 that He is the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Jesus Christ. Once again, you have no Jesus in your life, no peace. You know Jesus, you know His peace. My next point. Yes, my second point is that purpose. We serve a God of purpose. Jeremiah 29:11, my favorite scripture in the Bible. We all have our favorite scripture, right? Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. He has a purpose for each one of our lives. And that's just a beautiful thing. Thank you. Am I on? No. Mic check. Good. Can you hear me? Okay. So I'm having some technology, isn't it? All right. So my point is that God has a purpose for us. You know, once we get saved, a lot of people will stop there in salvation. But you know what? God has so much more for us. Jeremiah 33:3 says, come unto me and I will show you great and unsearchable things that you not know of. See, there's so much more to God, you know. People just sit, we get saved. But you know what? There's so much more to God. It's just, the deeper you get with God, it just, He'll show you more beautiful things. Yes, it's tough. I'm not going to be up here and say that serving God's easy, but you know what? At the end of the day, I'd rather be on God's side than not have God in my life. John chapter 8, starting in verse 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, He appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around Him, and He sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say? They were using this question as a trap, in order to have a basis for accusing Him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with His finger. When they kept on questioning Him, He straightened up and said to them, Let any of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. Again, He stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with a woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, he said. then neither do I condemn you. Jesus declared, go now and live your life of sin. Jesus had a purpose for this woman. The same with us. You know, when we weren't serving God, we were doing our own thing. But then, you know, we realize and say, you know what? I need a Savior in my life. I can say that personally. Yeah, I would come to church, you know, with my head down and just feeling sorry for my having pity parties because I didn't have this, I didn't have that. But at the end of the day, I mean, hearing those messages, little by little, God was chipping at my heart. And I said, I realized that one point in my life, I needed a Savior. I was at a crossroad. I didn't know what to do with my life. Graduated from high school, Lord, what's next? But I'm never going to forget that day. I'm never going to forget that day until the day I die. June 18 of 2000, I gave my life to the Lord. And it was just the beginning of where I'm at now. I've been serving God for 16 years. And I'm just amazed, you know, from a little boy that grew up in this, riding my bike here in Donna, with my grandparents raising me, and look where I'm at. And I just thank God every day. Because of his mercy, but there's a point in our lives. My point is that, you know, realize that you need a Savior. God has given us free will. And it's up to us to realize, you know what, God, I need you in my life. I mean, there's points in everybody's life that they question, what is all this going on in my life? But you know what? Who are we to question why things happen? There's a scripture in the Bible that says the secret things belong unto the Lord. We don't understand why we go through things in life growing up. But once God gets a hold of our hearts, and when you've really said it from your heart, and you say, you know what, God? I need you. And God is so merciful. He's so merciful. Rich of mercy. His faithfulness. The Bible also says in Philippians 1:6, He is faithful to complete the work He has started in our lives. If He begun something in you, He's faithful. He's not going to leave you out in the dry, leave you out there deserted, because we serve a loving Father. So once again, we serve a God of purpose. First point, we serve a God of peace. Second, we serve a God of purpose. And my last point is that we serve a God of love. John chapter 3, verse 15. John chapter 3, starting in verse 15. That everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's only one and only Son. Amen. God loved us so much that he sent his one and only Son to die for each one of us. If you were the only person in this life, I mean in this world, he would have done it for you. Here we have Jesus Christ walking streets of old. He had everything. But he said, you know what? I want to go down there and die for my people. And die to become the second Adam. Because Adam messed it up, right? You know what? Thank God, you know that Jesus Christ came down and died for our sins. But on the third day, he said he resurrected. And he's alive and well today. The Bible says he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. You know that one day he's coming back. We don't know the time or the hour. I don't want to get into that conversation, but you know what? The Bible makes it clear that he is coming back. It's preparing our hearts to become that bride. Genesis chapter 50, verse 15. I'll talk a little bit about the life of Joseph. Starting in verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" Well, the life of Joseph, he was sold at a young age to slavery. I'm reading the latter part of his life. You see what's gonna happen. So they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. When his brothers then came and threw themselves down before him, "We are your slaves," they said. These next scriptures are powerful. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. These are the brothers that did him wrong at a young age. And he went through a lot. Not even getting into his life, but he went through a lot. You read about him in the Bible. And a lot of people say, "I forgive you, but I will not forget what you did to me." I'm sorry, people. That's not true forgiveness. Because Jesus Christ said, "Forgive them, for they not know what they do." And those were Jesus Christ, one of his last words. And once again, the life of Joseph. And he reassured them and spoke harshly to them. No, he spoke kindly to them. Each one of us has been hurt, done wrong, whatever the case is. But when you experience God and you accept him into your heart, God's going to give you the power to forgive people. The Bible says, "It's not my might nor power, it is by his spirit," says the Lord. He gives you the strength to forgive people that have done us wrong. And I hear that a lot. "I forgive you, but I will never forget what you did to me." I'm sorry, but that's not true forgiveness. Joseph showed them true forgiveness despite of what they did to him. And I bought a new Bible and I ran into this sentence that says, "Obedience leads to blessing, whereas rebellion brings a curse." Let me read that again, because when I was reading that, it just jumped out like, wow. Obedience leads to blessing, whereas rebellion brings a curse. We serve a God of peace, purpose, and of love. So I'm sure some closing thoughts for y'all this morning. I just like to get straight to the point. I'm not one of the long-winded preachers or pastors, whatever you want to call it. I just like to get straight to the point. My closing thoughts this morning, this summer camp was a camp that I'm never going to forget. You know, for the people that went, it was just amazing. You know, it was the first night of camp, just in worship. You know, the presence of God hit me strong. And I just was out on the floor, and I tried to move, but I couldn't move, you know. I just remember Joseph and Michelle praying for me. And Michelle said some things that were powerful, you know, and things that I have seen, how seen God's allowed me to see some miracles, and, you know, so that God was going to use my hands, you know, for healing. And it was just amazing, because when I was in Bible school, it was this teacher that taught on healing. And I asked her one day, "Ma'am, I have a question for you.
Why does my hand get hot?
So Michelle confirmed a lot that night. And she said that's because it's a healing oil that God wants to use you in that ministry of healing. You know, and I remember that first miracle. I'm never going to forget it. There was this lady that was bedridden. She couldn't move. And I still remember vividly. We were gathered around her bed where she was. She couldn't move. And we ended up praying for her. Right when we finished praying for her, she got up. I was like, whoa, what just happened? And that was just a miracle. What made it more amazing is that that night, we had a night service. And she testified that Jesus had healed her. That was the first miracle I witnessed. And when I came back, I was just radically like, I don't know, man. I was just not... I'm still timid from time to time, but like a new boldness came upon me, and it was just amazing. But going back to that night, God just confirmed a lot to me. You know, because I did ask God, you know, God, I'm going out there expecting something. I went out there with an expectancy. And that night, boom, he hit me, his presence. And it was just amazing. Like just, this is a night that I'm never going to forget with my salvation. When that day, I was speaking in tongues after a prayer meeting. It was just me and my friend in the truck. And all of a sudden, what is this? You know, but it was, what I'm trying to get to is that God has a purpose for each one of our lives. God's no respecter of person. If God took me out of the gutters, he took me out of hopelessness, feeling sorry for myself. And it was just an amazing night. But what made it more amazing was they had an altar call. And this young man came up to me. Said, I want you to pray for me. Because I'm having some heart complications. You know what? When God speaks, he speaks in confirmations. And here's this young man saying that, you know, he's having his heart issues and he didn't want to tell his family because they were having financial hardships. Said, I want you to pray for me. I'm like, well, God, you're amazing. So I know God bestowed something beautiful in my heart. And I pray to God that I hold on to it. Because it's something big. Healing ministry is something that, it's big. But I just thank God for what he continues to do in my life. And I know he's not done yet. But he's not done with you all. He's not done with your family. God has brought you to Hope Community Church for a reason, for a purpose. You know, it was just amazing. Because I know what I once was. I was a young boy that was hurting. Several things that happened in my life that, you know, I'm not going to get into this morning. But I was broken. I was devastated at a young age. He tried to destroy me at a young age. But I thank God I got a hold of him. And he's taking care of me. And I want to share with you all this morning that he's got a purpose for each one of us. And it's up to us. God has given us free will. But I want to share with you all that God loves you. God has a plan for you. And he's got a beautiful purpose for you and your families. If we can just bow our heads, I'm about to just go ahead and dismiss. But before I dismiss, as Michelle starts strumming the guitar and singing a song, if you're struggling this morning, I would love to pray with you. If you're looking for peace, if you're looking for direction, I would love to pray with you this morning.
That's my altar call this morning. He loves you. He's got a purpose for your life. And if you're searching for peace, He is a true King of peace. So the altar is open. We'd love to pray with you.